Welcome to the Square Peg Show, episode 19 for July 14th, 2014. I'm Mike.
And I'm Jesse.
We decided to just switch the numbering. We're going to start with episode 19 since we missed last week, the first week of July, basically.
Yep.
So the numbering, it might be a little bit easier to keep up with. And here we go. Oh, and by the way, we skipped last week. The week before that was our special episode for our friends at the charity fundraiser thing. The week before that was Game of Thrones. It's been a while since we've done the news.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's start with an indie movie that I put the trailer on the Square Peg Show Facebook page. Birdman. Did you watch the trailer?
I did not.
Oh, man, it's so cool.
Holy crap, really?
Birdman, starring Michael Keaton.
What? And wait, like Birdman, attorney at law? Or
no, nothing to do with that.
Damn it.
Yeah, that was my first thought. But it tells the story, I'm reading the description here, tells the story of an actor famous for portraying an iconic superhero as he struggles to mount a Broadway play. In the days leading up to opening night, he battles his ego and attempts to recover his family, his career, and himself. And it's like, at the end, Michael Keaton is fighting Edward Norton while Norton's wearing his underwear. And it's like this big brawl. It's wacky looking, but
holy
it looks
shit.
Like a dark comedy or a dark, you know, comedy drama. And it kind of, it seems like it plays with Michael Keaton's character's psyche a little bit, because
right.
it's like, maybe he really thinks he is a superhero. So I think it's going to be kind of interesting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch that right now.
There's one scene where he just points at something on the street, and then something blows up, and then you look up, and there's this giant computer graphic mutant bird thing, like shooting fire out of it. So it has cool effects in it, but it's like, I think it's going to be kind of psychological stuff.
That's awesome. I'm in for that.
Also stars Emma Stone, Edward Norton, like I said, Naomi Watts, Amy Ryan, Zach Galifianakis. Moving on, Looper's Rian Johnson will be directing Star Wars Episode 8. Now, that's not the one that they're currently working on. Episode 7, J.J. Abrams, like we talked about before.
Right.
And Harrison Ford, you know, got injured on set, so they had to delay production.
He busted his ankle or something.
Something
right?
like that.
Yeah.
Which, A, I didn't realize Harrison Ford's role was so big.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess we're going to get lots of the three older cast members
right.
back in this one. And the fact that they already got the next director, Rian Johnson, who I think is amazing. He did Looper, like I said.
Yep.
Brick, which I didn't watch all of. I wasn't like a huge fan.
Yeah.
But also some of the coolest episodes of Breaking Bad. Like
yes.
he's a big
oh, yeah.
Breaking Bad. Ozymandias, the one where Hank and Walt are out in the desert, like just the way it's shot. Or Fly. You remember the Fly
yes,
episode?
Yes, that was great.
That was Rian Johnson. So he is doing episode 8 of this huge series. Plus, for the spinoffs, they already got some cool directors like we mentioned before.
Yep.
I like the fact that they are finding directors that are kind of more indie for something huge like this.
Right, absolutely. Dude, I can't wait for that. It's going to be awesome.
Yep. So there's a new Pixar movie coming out next year, and it's by the guy that did Up.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a fan of Up?
I was, and that was great.
Inside Out is the name of the movie, and it takes place inside the mind of a preteen, and each of the main cast members is one of the anthropomorphized emotions of this teen. So you have Amy Poehler and Bill Hader and Mindy Kaling. They are playing like different emotions from this preteen girl.
Right.
So it sounds different. Huh. Pixar is always doing something different.
Yeah. Is there a trailer out for that yet?
I think also so far they've been screening the first 5 minutes of the film. I don't
right.
know if anything's leaked yet, but like at certain screenings you get to see the beginning. Because it's supposed to have an awesome montage at the beginning, just
right.
like Up did,
yeah.
which had that kind of heartbreaking thing with the husband and wife.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm. it was sad.
It was, dude. It was.
It was really well done, too.
God, I want a shitload of balloons.
Okay, to follow up on a couple stories that we have previously mentioned on the Square Peg Show, for $20,000, one guy got his name in a Game of Thrones book.
Awesome.
So Game of Thrones readers, Song of Ice and Fire readers, will have to get used to the name Dave Goldblatt. I'm sure Martin will come up with something clever in order, you know,
yes.
Chief of Date, not Chief of Dave, but Chief of Gold with a son of Blatt. I mean, I figure he'll have to twist it.
Probably.
And
for $20,000, this guy paid $20,000 to get his name in there.
And he even admitted, I don't really know anything about the charity. I just wanted my name in the book.
This was his charity for wolves, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Or to make sure that they had like a good habitat. Yeah.
Well, listeners, for $20,000, we'll allow you to come on this show. How about that? I'll take $20,000 for that. If you guys want to come on the show, that'd be awesome.
For $20,000, we will say your name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then for an extra $10, we'll actually put a picture on the on our website of you. Give us money.
There's also there were two winners. The other one decided to remain anonymous. I'm not sure how that'll work. I guess she just the winner wanted to just have her name without anybody knowing who it is, which is like if you're gonna pay $20,000,
yeah, hell yeah.
I don't understand that really.
That's me. I paid $20,000.
The other follow up was to say that LeVar Burton's Kickstarter fundraiser. Mm-hmm. Has been doing very, very well. No surprise, really. But let me see what the final tally was. $6 million.
Jesus, God.
$6 million. And some of the things that they, you know how they'll do the what do they call it? Stretch goals.
Yes.
For Kickstarter. These incentives to donate more and more. Some of them were really cool because LeVar Burton got some of the Star Trek Next Generation crew or other Star Trek stars to come by and do things.
I think I heard, yeah, Patrick Stewart was going to read on it.
Separate private readings by some of the people Burton starred in the show with, like Jonathan Frakes, Brent Spiner, Michael Dorn. And then also you see like people from Voyager, like Kate Mulgrew, Jerry Ryan. They're going to do like special readings with fans. And they even had one of the top stretch goals was another event where you got to hang out with William Shatner and Patrick Stewart.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think Burton knew exactly who his audience was. You got to lean on the Star Trek a little bit and get this stuff going. But
You know what? I mean, what's cool about it, though, is that – I mean, have you ever seen the clip of Patrick Stewart on Sesame Street?
I don't think so.
Like, it was awesome, man. It was like, you know, you got this whole row of numbers, and he ends up making a joke about number one or whatever. But, I mean, it was absolutely awesome. And, Patrick Stewart's that kind of dude anyway, you know what I mean? I don't think it would take anything for Patrick Stewart to get on and read to some kids, you know what I mean? He just seems like that kind of guy.
He and Ian McKellen have, like, taken, like, very funny photos lately, too.
They got, like, a bromance going on. It's amazing.
Last Halloween, there was a picture of Patrick Stewart wearing a lobster costume while he laid in a bathtub.
Yeah.
You got to respect that, you know, the fact that he just like, I don't give a fuck. I will do this.
Damn, I'm Patrick Stewart.
Uh-huh. And it should be noted that Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy, he matched donations up to $1 million in the final week of the Reading Rainbow fundraiser. So they got it. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what they produce. There's going to be a little bit longer wait for Better Call Saul. The Breaking Bad spinoff, because they decided to wait until next year to actually release the first episode. Mm. But, you know, that's kind of bad news. But on the good news, they've already renewed it for a second season.
Wow. That's
so quick. They must have a lot of confidence in it. And I think, I mean, it's 10 episodes first season, 13 episodes second season. Mm. So we're going to get at least 23 episodes of this show.
That's awesome.
I think it's going to be fantastic.
Bring it on.
Yep. All right. So here's a pretty big topic. Nikki Fink, the person that used to be at Deadline, she started a new website where one of her first big scoops or stories, now take this with a grain of salt,
right,
because it's just in the rumor mill. You know how many, many websites just go based on rumor.
Yes.
So I have no idea if this is true or not, but I figure it's worth talking about. The idea that they have a very amped up, crazy schedule for the DC Comics superhero movies. Have you seen this article yet?
I have not.
All right, this came out probably 3 weeks ago because we're kind of catching up here on the podcast. But let me run through the schedule for the next couple of years. I'll give you month and date and then title.
Okay.
Some of these have already been announced and talked about. Some of these are purely rumor.
Okay.
May 2016, Batman versus Superman, or Batman v. Superman. July 2016, Shazam.
What?
Christmas 2016, Sandman. May 2017, Justice League. July 2017, Wonder Woman. Christmas 2017, a Flash and Green Lantern team up. And May 2018, Man of Steel 2. So, 1, 2, 3, 4. 7 movies within the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
That's a ton of movies. Huh. If this is true, I don't, you know, you got to take your time and just release 1 or 2 a year, sure, is my first thought. Second thought, you know, according to this rumor mill, Ryan Reynolds would not be involved at all in the Flash Green Lantern team up.
Thank God.
Sandman was a previously announced project with Joseph Gordon-Levitt doing like some of the producing, maybe starring in it.
Right. Well, I know they got the Flash television series. It's on the way
this fall. Yeah. I heard that Brandon Routh will star as the Atom in an upcoming Arrow episode too. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to these, you know, eight movies coming so close together, what do you think?
It feels kind of like DC is just like they're desperate is what it feels like. They're really reaching at this point. Like we got to just quantity over quality right now. Just put it all out there as fast as we can get it. Which if that's the case, we're going to end up with just a ton of shitty movies is what's going to happen. So I don't know. I mean, it's all going to depend on the crew behind each title. I mean, you know, if they said Nolan's doing all of these, then yeah, that's going to be awesome. But, you know, of course, that's not going to happen, especially if they're going to pump them out that fast. They're going to have to grab people off the street and be like, you know how to direct? Too bad. Get in there. Call action. You know what I mean?
I think Nolan's officially walked away from, like, directing any more of these. You know, good. He was done with the three Batman.
But, yeah. That's probably for the best.
Yeah. But he has, like, a tangential part in, like, producing, I think. Mm-hmm. Man of Steel, which already came out, and maybe the Batman v Superman, but and also rumored was Jason Momoa. Remember him? Mm-hmm. As,
Khal Drogo.
Thank you. He is rumored to be Aquaman in the Justice League movie.
He apparently just had a movie that's either coming out or has just come out where he was like on a motorcycle and he's like a loner guy and there's guns and shit, and I was like, this doesn't look too bad. And then it was like a WWE film, and I was like, what? Yeah, apparently the World Wrestling Entertainment has their own movie studio now, so look out for that shit.
All right, so just looking at the list one more time. Shazam in 2 years, that just doesn't seem like that's going to happen. No. Plus, I'm not quite sure that's a property that's going to translate.
It's not going to do very well, if anything, no.
Now, notice they're going to call the character Shazam now.
Not Captain Marvel.
Yeah, they had some kind of copyright problem with Marvel, I think, over that. But, you know, Justice League... We all know they should be building up to the Justice League thing. I still think that the upcoming Batman v Superman, directed by Zack Snyder, starring Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill, and also guest starring Cyborg, Aquaman, and Wonder Woman,
is
going to stink like a big, huge pile
probably
of turds.
Yes.
But I'm hoping that once we get past the Zack Snyder, you know, I was just talking about how excited I am with these Star Wars movies. I got good directors. I still think Snyder is kind of crappy. Yeah. I mean, every time you see a screen still or any kind of information, it just seems so bleak.
Yeah.
And like I said on the show before, I think that they should have a happier kind of superhero thing going on instead of like bleak ass.
Sad Batman.
Yeah, sad man. So that's my big critique of that.
Yep.
All right, but moving away from the news, and this is a good segue into the second part of the show, is that we wanted to talk more about superheroes. You know, surprise, surprise. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the Batman movies because I had been reading these articles about, you know, the two Burton Batman movies and the two Shoemaker Batman movies. And previously on the show, I was kind of dissing. Remember, I think it was like the third episode when we came back. I was kind of dissing Nolan, right? And the fact that the Batman movies weren't necessarily Batman-esque.
Right.
Because I like the kind of, not campy, but I like it a little bit more superhero-centric.
Yeah.
I take all that back, though, because I was thinking about Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. Those are two great films, you know? I'm reading these articles on comicsalliance.com that I'll put the link on squarepegshow.com. And, you know, those two movies did so many good things. The way that they were plotted, the way that the cast, the script, everything was really sharp. But they also, in this feature that I'm going to link to, they reviewed the first four Batman movies. Now, when we were what, 9 years old when Batman came out?
Something like that.
Yeah, in 1989.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Batman Returns with Penguin and Catwoman. What'd you think of those two movies?
I at the time, I mean, of course, they were absolutely amazing. That was the couple summers of Batman. I mean, it was, you know, you didn't go anywhere without a fucking Batman symbol cut into someone's head or something, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, it was really cool, and I remember seeing it and thinking that I really liked the style. I loved the soundtrack. It was amazing. And it was just Tim Burton all over it. Like, it was just Tim Burton threw up on the screen and you got Batman. And while it did have some problems, I was able to overlook most of it because it had such a cool ambiance to it.
Yeah.
And, by the way, it had the best Batmobile to date. So.
Well, the two writers for this Comics Alliance thing I was telling you about, their whole point was that those two movies are actually way campier than we actually thought. And they laid it out, and they were like, you know, the Penguin does have, like, a bunch of penguins with rocket launchers attached to their back. Catwoman did get resurrected through the powerful mystical stuff of cats.
Of cats, yes.
You know, nine lives and all that.
Right.
So, and then they laid out a whole, the plot doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes for both movies. And then these two writers for that website, they went on to go to Batman Forever.
Forever.
And Batman and Robin, yes. And they're actually defending Batman and Robin.
Are they really?
Yeah. Which I personally consider one of the worst movies I ever went to the theater for.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not just superhero.
No, just of all time.
You and I saw that together,
I'm pretty sure, yeah. And it was the, oh,
as
gosh.
Soon as the ice skates came out around minute six,
yes.
Or so, I was like, holy crap, what are they doing? Or all the nipples.
Yes, the nipples. Dude, I forgave a lot of that movie. And I've said this a million times, I'll say it again. I forgave a lot of that movie. I forgave the Bat credit card. I forgave the ice skates and the boots. I even forgave, like, sky surfing from a rocket. But when a bad guy fell down in the ice skating scene, there was a sound effect, and it went, whoop! And I was like, what the fuck just happened, dude? I'm leaving. I just wanted to leave, dude. It was that bad. Oh.
Well, I got to give props to the article I keep talking about for actually trying to defend this and saying it's better than the other three Batman movies. It was a very entertaining read. I hope other listeners check those articles out. And then, you know, I already mentioned the two at the time that they were writing this, Dark Knight Rises hadn't come out yet.
Yeah.
So I mentioned the Nolan movies. I mentioned the Burton and Schumacher ones. I forgot to mention, though, that they also reviewed Catwoman, starring Halle Berry. Have you seen that?
I have not.
Me neither.
Nor will I.
But it's... every bit and even worse stupid than you may have suspected. There are just the things that the plot hinges on.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. And maybe I'll link to some of the things they talked about on the Facebook
page. What saddens me is that it's Halle Berry. That makes me so damn sad, dude, because I love Halle Berry. I'll watch that bitch in anything. Like, she's awesome. But then, except that, like that, I saw the trailer and I was like, what is happening on my screen right now, dude?
What's really funny is that was her first movie after she won an Oscar.
Yeah.
So she got an Oscar one
year. So it was a vacation, is what it was.
And then she got a Razzie the year right after the Oscar. And she actually showed, and I think we mentioned this on the show before, that she showed up to the Razzies with the Oscar in her hands.
Oh, yeah.
And took the Razzie. So anyway, it's a great read, you know. But anyway, we wanted to do one more little feature before we close the show, and that was the topic of real-life superheroes.
Yes.
All right, take it away.
There's actually a Netflix documentary, and it's just called Superheroes. You know, I would recommend checking it out. But if any of you don't know, there are what's called real-life superheroes out there where normal citizens will don a cape and costume and go out at night and look for crime to fight. Now, there's a lot of stuff to go over for this because, number one, my brother's in law enforcement, so I ask him a lot about this. Whereas, you know, in Florida, apparently, you cannot make a citizen's arrest. However, in other places, you can. So the way these people think is that, you know, their law enforcement, or their local law enforcement may not be the most honest kind of thing, so they want to go out and make a difference themselves. And some of it just seems absolutely insane. They got to go out there and confront drug dealers and pimps and things like this to try and stop and get the stuff out of their community, which is great, but they're just going to end up getting shot. So, I don't know. It's a really...
Has that happened? Have there been any records of someone just getting, like, you know,
I haven't heard of anyone getting killed, but, I mean, there was one in particular, and this is how I learned about real-life superheroes. There was a superhero named Phoenix Jones. And he would go out at night in complete costume, and he would have a cameraman with him. And it was just to record everything that's going on just for, you know, if you needed evidence or whatnot. But it went down something like this. He was doing on a patrol, and there was like a big fight, like a lot of people in this fight down an alley or something like that. So he runs down there. He tries to break it up. He breaks out some pepper spray and starts dousing the crowd with it. Then, of course, you know, all hell breaks loose and Phoenix Jones ends up getting arrested, and then they pretty much out him on the news. They take off his mask, and they say this is who this is, who, you know, he was an MMA, like, he was trained in MMA and mixed martial arts, that kind of stuff. So, you know, he could handle himself, but...
So Phoenix Jones was his, like, superhero name?
It was a superhero name, okay. Yes. And you know, he does that for the same exact reasons they do in the comics, is because, you know, if someone knows who you actually are, then they might try and get to you through the people that you care about, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it was just a really, really interesting watch. And but one of the things that I thought was pretty cool was there's one guy, I think he goes by Dark Guardian. He doesn't wear a mask. He does have a uniform, but, you know, he doesn't wear a mask. But they actually show him walking through his local park, and there's a guy who's been sitting on this bench dealing drugs, and he's out there with a bullhorn and a bunch of people behind him, and he's just yelling. He's like, "You're not going to sell drugs here anymore. We're not going to have this anymore. You're on video. You know, we're just going to sit here and make a bunch of fucking racket until you leave." And I was like, "That's awesome." And then at the end of it, you know, they go out and they have all these supplies for homeless people. They give out, you know, all kinds of stuff to you know, people who are in need on the streets and that kind of thing. So
were they wearing costumes?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, they have interviews with them, and you know, they're all about it. And they're "God bless you, man," and all this. So it's touchy, but it's really interesting.
I think a big factor there is they actually had cameras
at
that time, and that can really help, especially if you're trying to get away with crimes.
Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, he was just by himself and his cameraman, and he actually went up to the guy on, you know, who was selling drugs. He's like, "I know you've been selling drugs here." Of course, the guy gets in his face. He's pretty upset, but this guy doesn't back down at all. He's like, "I don't care what you do to me. You're on camera. I got the cops."
Mm-hmm.
He's just phone call away. And he ended up leaving. So I thought that was pretty cool.
So what's the name of this documentary again?
It's just called Superheroes.
Superhero on Netflix.
Netflix.
Cool.
And it's kind of a touchy subject. And I kind of want to know what the listeners think about this, about someone who actually dresses up in uniform and goes out and fights crime. So tell us what you think.
My takeaway is it's dangerous as hell, like you talked about earlier. Vigilantism is inherently wrong, I think, but there also is, I mean, you know, there's some good-spirited people that are trying to do this, and like you say, try to protect their neighborhoods and all that. So, and it's also interesting, like, on a psychological level, like, what's going through their heads that they actually do the stuff that they read about in comics and fiction and stuff.
Well, and a lot of them had talked about one case in particular, and I can't remember her name, and it's going to make me crazy now, but there was a woman who was pretty much beaten, raped, and killed in between several buildings, where they said there was at least 38 people who were in hearing range of all that happening, and no one did anything about it. No one called the police. No one did anything. You know, and they have pictures of her on their uniforms and things like that. And they're like, that's the kind of stuff that we need to stand up against and make sure never happens again. So I don't know. I mean, it's there's so much good and so much bad on either side. So I'm really curious what everyone thinks out there.
Yeah, that's the scary thing, too, when you think that your neighbors might get your back and they don't do
shit. They do not. Absolutely not.
It's scary, yeah.
And, that, you know, it goes right back to the quote that pure evil is when good men do nothing, something like that.
I don't know.
So, yeah, it's, you know, it kind of all boils down to that, and it's such a cool idea to even think about, but I don't know.
Well, your brother's going to have a lot to say when you start dressing up, right?
All right. Hey, don't out me right here on the show, dude.
Your alter ego. All right, listeners, that's the show. Jesse has a few more things to say about where you can find us. Have a good one.
Later, guys. Hey, guys, just a quick reminder that if any of you would like to be on the show, suggest topics for the show, or just have questions or comments, please let us know at squarepegshow@gmail.com or on our website, squarepegshow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes. So until next time, guys, be square.